Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
Future Strategic Warfare 2025, Directed Evolution, and the Bio-Nano Era. I thought I would take this opportunity to kind of wrap up that first hour because so much of it has been laid out in white papers across the board within our military industrial complex, but none so much as a July 2001 document known as Future Strategic Warfare 2025. And I often do presentations on this because you can find two versions of the document. One, which is over 120 pages, and another that is the quote unquote Reader's Digest version. And essentially what this document is, it is a PowerPoint for a presentation by the chief scientist of NASA at the time. And very, very early on, it lays out the bots, Borgs, and humans that are going to be welcoming you to that era. Guys, it's 2020. But one of the most striking things about that document, very early after letting you know that none of this is pixie dust and all of it is based in current scientific trends, discoveries, and technologies, is that the bio-nano era of humanity will begin in 2020. Now, let me repeat when this document came out. That was in 2001. So 19 years before, it correctly says that we will enter the bio-nano era. Now, people will go, what do you mean, Jason? Bio-nano technology was around well before 20. Yeah, but it wasn't injected into billions of people literally on that year. All right, let me repeat that. The trials for the hate and lie shots that were bio-nanotechnology on a scale never before seen began to be injected into people on the very year predicted by NASA. Now, what's very interesting indeed is they don't know when the bio-nano era of humanity ends. Seems like there's going to be a lot of experimentation, a lot of trial and error. But they do know what the next generation of humanity will be. And it will be the quote-unquote virtual era. Sound familiar? Metaverse? Transhumanism? Anyone? Bio-digital technologies beyond the Internet of Things, of bodies, and perhaps even more, you betcha. And throughout this document, it uses phrases and frameworks that continually are relevant to today and undercover journalism. A phrase used over and over again within this is directed evolution. And Mr. Bushnell, Dennis Bushnell, the author of this document, is quoted many times, but once in particular in 2018, literally saying, evolution naturally is over. Let me repeat that. Evolution of all biological things naturally is over, and we, it wasn't me, I didn't do it, I know it wasn't you, he says, we have taken over the evolution of everything. Now, that's a pretty heavy statement, especially because the scientific community wants you to believe in a big bang. It came from nothing, some ooze, and then we was like these little organisms, then we were like fishy things, and then all of a sudden we were the boom bang on the land, and somehow, you know, monkeys became us. Even though the fossil record doesn't show that, and I know that Tucker Carlson was attacked for that. Hey guys, that's reality. The truth of the matter is, yes, do we have microevolution? The fossil record certainly shows that. It's called adaptation. But species to species evolutions and jumps, not there. But they don't have to be there because people like Dennis Bushnell and the military industrial complex have taken over anyway. You can take over by having a little bank holiday coming up in a couple of weeks. We got a Music Festival for Truth and Freedom. It is Stand in the Light, standinthelight.uk, with 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling, the Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles, and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth of the world. A Stand in the Park and Light paper presents Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. See, you can hit Bilderberg like the week before and then make your way out camping. You get 4 days camping and full access for the whole festival for just £60 plus a booking fee. Children under 5 are free. There is no better deal anywhere. What a bargain. Visit our website now and make sure that you don't miss what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole freedom loving family. Standinthelight.uk, standinthelight.uk. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to hit the headlines when we come back with Adam Clark. More TNT after this.
It's the stuff.
It's that division
people are talking about.
And that cluelessness that they want to push.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
According to a new U.S.-based study, interior vehicular air has been found to be contaminated with harmful chemicals that are linked to cancer and IQ decline among children. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, bringing the ruckus, more joy and happiness, not only regarding our physical and mental health, but our IQs as well. Do tell, Adam.
Well, let's start with the culprit here. When's the last time y'all went shopping for a new car or purchased one? This might seem familiar, ready? Ah, that new car smell. That's right. It is indeed a beloved benefit of buying a new vehicle. However, apparently, according to this new study, at least part of that scent could be due to toxic carcinogens released by a substance, it gets better, that is required by law to be there. What the heck is he talking about? Well, this peer-reviewed study was published in ACS Publications just yesterday, May 7th, and investigated the use of flame retardants, FR, inside vehicles and their health implications on people. Flame retardants are chemicals, yay, applied to materials like vehicle seat foams to prevent burning or slow the spread of fire. I mentioned the use of flame retardants inside vehicles is mandatory under the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's guidelines. In the study, researchers analyzed 101 Dalmatians, vehicles, manufactured between 2015 and 2022. Here's what the study said, quote, TCIPP is detectable in 99% of vehicles. Wow. And vehicle foam was identified as a compound, end quote. TCIPP is a flame retardant investigated by the U.S. Toxicology Program for its potential carcinogenic effects. TCIPP belongs to a class of flame retardants called organophosphate esters, OPEs. Other OPE flame retardants, including TCEP and TDCIPP, were also found in vehicles that are identified as carcinogens under California's Proposition 65 initiative. The study notes that in addition to causing cancer, these and other flame retardants have been associated with reproductive and neurological harm. TDCIPP specifically has been associated with, quote, decreased fertility, altered thyroid hormone function, and cancer, end quote. The lead author, Rebecca Hohen, who is a scientist at Duke University, said, quote, our research found that interior materials release harmful chemicals into the cabin air of our cars. Considering the average driver spends about an hour in the car every day, this is a significant public health issue. It's particularly concerning for drivers with longer commutes, as well as child passengers who breathe more air pound for pound than the adults, end quote. Oh no, does this mean we're going to have to mask up? The researchers tested the cars in both summer and winter. Hotter weather was linked to higher concentrations of flame retardants, since off-gassing from components like seat foam rises when temperatures climb. science. The interior of vehicles can reach up to 150 degrees Fahrenheit. This is why we don't leave our pets or our kids in the car, people. An analysis of seat foam samples from 51 cars was conducted, and it was discovered that vehicles with seat foams containing TCIPP had higher concentrations of this chemical in the indoor air. This confirmed that the foam was the source of this retardant present in cabin air. Previous studies have shown that the average American child suffers a 3 to 5 point decline in IQ after being exposed to just one flame retardant widely used in furniture and cars. Co-author Lydia Jal, a senior scientist at the Green Science Policy Institute, said, quote, "You may be able to reduce your exposure to flame retardants in your car by opening your windows and parking in the shade. But what's really needed is reducing the amount of flame retardants being added to cars in the first place. Commuting to work should not come with a cancer risk, and children should not breathe in chemicals that can harm their brains on the way to school," end quote. The study was funded by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences and the National Institutes of Health, the Falk Family, F-A-L-K, the Jonas Family Fund, the Cornell Douglas Foundation, and the Passport Foundation. The authors, apparently Jason, declared that there was no quote-unquote competing financial interest in the study. So, wow, what a study. Interesting. What do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm not sitting here bragging that I have some kind of a high IQ, but it's never felt so good to be so poor growing up. I can assure everybody that Jason Burmes never smelled the new car smell of any vehicle growing up. So that 3 to 5 point decline, not a real thing. Nothing but junkers in my family that had already been on the road sometimes 1 to 2 to even 3 decades. Now, even my car today is a used vehicle that I bought outright from 2011. Didn't get it till 2020. I hope that the vast majority of that flame retardant and its chemical overspill was gone after the 9 years it was driven before I had it. But, you know, this isn't a shock, right? We've been talking about microplastics more and more in everything, the water, the food. We've been talking about PFAS. People are aware of BPAs and now BPS. There's a lot of invisible things that incrementally over time can actually harm us in a multitude of ways. What's funny is we're not focusing on that. Instead, we're contriving other invisible things out there that don't take a long time, but supposedly you're going to kill us at any second, any moment. We got to take multiple shots otherwise. You know what I don't smell here? A recall. I don't think that we're going to be recalling all of these vehicles. It is rather alarming that especially it affects children. 3 to 5 points is nothing to josh about now that we are on the decline officially for the first time in this country and our collective IQ has dropped below 100 to 98, Adam.
Yeah, that's not good. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Once you start going down the rabbit hole, just do a quick Google search if you feel the need about off-gassing. It's everything. Every single thing that you own in your house right now is off-gassing. It's really wild. I did some research into it, and I had to quickly stop before I ran away from civilization and went into the woods like that one guy famously did, Jason.
Well, let's not do what that one guy famously did, Adam. Despite how prophetic he may have been in his writings, his actions were absolutely no bueno. And I would just say this, you know, that study, like you said, that just deals with cars. There are plenty of other things that are doing this same thing. We haven't even gotten into electronics or different spectrums of Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, cellular coverage, LTE, 5G, EEG. G waves. We are being constantly bombarded by things that can harm us that are not visible in our spectrum. So the one thing I would tell people is this: try to stay healthy, try to stay human. You know, the car thing, I get it. Everybody wants to rock a new car. I'm not telling you not to get one, but be aware of what you're actually doing. I would say this: AC is nice, but 3 to 5 points on the kid, maybe you grin and bear it a little bit and you unroll the windows, because obviously that could mitigate some of the effects of these things. You know, I'm no expert, but it does seem like some of this stuff at least is on purpose and maybe kind of harkens back to the original and maybe the best Batman movie out there with Tim Burton, where you had the subplot being that the Joker was getting people sick and really killing them by a plethora of different household products and items that were being used in unison. If you just used the shampoo and the toothpaste, maybe nothing would happen to you. But you threw a little bit more on there and you'd bite the bucket. This could be biological engineering via social engineering. I don't want to get that dark, but we're in a dark place. Adam Clark, everybody, bringing the ruckus as always. We will see you tomorrow. And now we will take that break and we will have the man, the myth, the legend, Pasta Jardula on the other side, talking the Middle East and beyond. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.
TNT's Mark Morano.
China is allied and works a partnership with the World Economic Forum. Gee, where have I heard of that? To empower the Great Reset over the United States. And not their nation, but just the United States. As China opens more and more coal mines for its own energy, it is now on the march across the nation, pushing wind and solar as the only power sources for us. And while helping to destroy the U.S., China gets rich from it. Across America, vital farmland is being buried under millions of acres of solar panels and massive wind towers. Nothing else can grow on that land, including the food we need. And as a quick interjection, since we're talking about solar panels, just to remind you that the Juice documentary revealed that solar and wind is not green. To make one wind turbine, chiefly from China, we have to extract 900 tons of steel, 2,500 tons of concrete, and 4,545 tons of non-renewable plastic. Wow, that sounds really earth-friendly.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for healing and care, for life-saving medical care, for a chance to live with dignity and hope. They are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. And now, as our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship sets sail, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now.
Without the work of Mercy Ships, these patients don't have another option.
Mercy Ships is answering the call to serve suffering people who have nowhere else to turn. Together, we are going to some of the world's most desperate places and bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most. To learn more about this wave of hope, go to mercyships.org today.
The Net Zero Con will leave millions of citizens dependent on state handouts.
It isn't a theory.
It's an agenda. There is no climate emergency. On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are now joined by the host of the Pasta To Go Show and the Convo Couch, Craig Pasta Jardula. And we've been talking a lot about the Middle East lately, specifically the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, or really global scale warfare that is extremely one-sided and continuing. And unfortunately, the stories that we're going to talk about today really illustrate that. Rafah has now been attacked. The siege is on. It's a very real thing. That is where many of these people were told to go in that region and were displaced. The ones that were able to survive the initial bombing campaigns. And it appears, even though that Biden is not awake, he has also given his blessing over to Netanyahu to carry out these attacks. What are your thoughts? Where is this going right now? And then I want to get into Macron and Xi Jinping and their meeting and what they said yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just like to point out right off the bat that, you know, there was some gray noise out there, some pushback of sorts, where you saw people like John Kirby and Jake Sullivan, who were so against, you know, the Rafah bombing, like, well, we tried to stop them, you know, but it wasn't a red line. And in fact, Axios reported that Biden and Netanyahu spoke and he gave the green line, the green light to do so, to go and bomb Rafah and go and send ground troops there. But I'd like to point out, Jason, to you and your audience, I think everybody knows that, that they've endorsed everything from the get-go. It wasn't until they got a lot of pushback, and, you know, I really going to tip my hat to a lot of these protesters out here on campus for making so much noise, but it wasn't until they saw that it was not, you know, politically expedient to just stand behind Israel no matter what, did they start voicing the lip service that we hear. But every single citizen, every single woman, every single mother, every single child that has been bombed by the Israeli government has been endorsed by the United States. We have provided the weaponry. We are have the blood on our hands. This is ethnic cleansing right here. You know, it's crazy. And to think for a second that there was any type of pushback, just like they said they're against the pushback for throwing Al Jazeera out of Israel. I don't know if you heard about that, Jason. No more freedom of speech. No more freedom of the press. If they have a phone, if an Al Jazeera reporter has a phone, the IDF can take it away. We are seeing complete madness unfold over here. And the fact that they moved everybody to Rafah, remember, that was the same spot as they had their northern campaign bombing. Now they're bombing Rafah, where there's millions of citizens there, mostly civilians, and that's what they mostly kill, 70% women and children. Now they're bombing Rafah. It's disgusting.
So, you know, let's talk about the aspects of not only the U.S. military giving their public support and providing many of the weapon systems that are being utilized. Again, it's an entire Western media blackout that U.S. Special Forces were conducting drills in Israel the day of the attacks on October 7th, and more Special Forces were sent after the fact. That means that at some capacity, we do have boots on the ground there, just like we've had boots on the ground via Ukraine and Russia from the inception. That is a reality. Now, the other question is, how entrenched is our Central Intelligence Agency and some of the privatized military groups that they also control? That's another aspect that is not being discussed in this arena. So we're not quite to the point where Western soldiers are openly being committed to this conflict yet, but now the goalpost over in Ukraine has moved in that direction. They are talking about boots on the ground via European military. And again, they've been there in some capacity, but now they're actually getting ready to roll out the armed forces that they're publicly going to show. And another aspect of that, and really this conflict, is that you don't have the press embedded. In fact, they were purposely not allowed to go cover Ukraine and Russia. And in many ways, that has spilled over into this Israeli conflict. Not that the New York Times or the Washington Post wants to honestly report on this conflict, but like you said, Al Jazeera, that may have a vested interest in doing so, again, because it is one of the largest news agencies in the world and a representation, at least in some manner, of the Middle East, has been outlawed there. This is extremely dangerous on a multitude of not only military, but social and political levels.
Yeah, on a human level. I mean, they were killing, you know, Russian reporters or anybody from the West that was, you know, Gonzalo Lira comes to mind, you know, let him die in a Ukrainian prison. Anybody who's a reporter that's not going to go along with the narrative of the Azov battalion and the Zelensky regime backed by the West is going to be eliminated, even taken out, you know. And we see that in Israel. They were bombing a reporter every single day. There was a journalist dying every single day. So this should be very, very concerning. But what you also said, too, we have to touch on. on as well. They've always had troops, whether it be in the Ukraine or in Israel, from the West in some capacity. I don't understand why it's, well, it's outsourced mercenaries. It's mercenaries. They're not wearing the uniform. But now after Hakeem Jeffries says, if we don't even go and fund this war any further here in the Ukraine, we can see American troops on the ground. And Macron, who I know you want to get to eventually, he even said that they're sending French troops on the ground. And the Brits are even speaking up, saying that they think it's okay, even if the Ukrainians fire one of their weaponry, it's okay to go into deep into Russian territory. And the Russians have said, they made no make no mistake about this. If a British weapon hits any of our facilities, any of our men, any of our weapons, then it's open game for you. This is some scary times right now. Not only are we having mass censorship across the board, and we're not being able to report this stuff or talk about this stuff, we're spinning out into World War III here, Jason. I'm very, very frightened.
And, you know, you did talk about Russia and what they've said in regards to British troops. And now they are openly conducting nuclear military drills in the coming weeks. They have not given specific dates, but that's not just being talked about. It's actually happening. And you and I have discussed a nuclear event anywhere in the westernized world, no matter how small, changes everything like that in a manner that may make the COVID-1984 a nightmare look like a day at preschool. We got to take a break. When we come back, I do want to get into Macron and China, Xi Jinping in particular. I was not prepared for this one. We're going to talk about it on the other side. More TNT.
What's happening?
Newsflash.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The Biden administration temporarily withheld a shipment of bombs to Israel, concerned they could be used in an attack on Hamas in Rafah, where over a million civilians are sheltering. This decision marked the first time the U.S. has denied Israel military aid since the conflict with Hamas began on October 7th. The Georgia Court of Appeals has granted a review of a decision by a trial court judge that allowed Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis to continue leading the prosecution against former President Donald Trump under certain conditions.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, Vote One. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And we are back with Pasta Jardula, and I got to tell you, yesterday I was kind of taken aback. I was surprised. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of shocking things out there in the media, but I simply was not prepared for Xi Jinping and Macron to sit down and not only talk about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but do so in probably the most sane manner, although I don't think there's any chance of it coming to fruition, into a two-state solution, which has been not only completely ignored by not only the United States, but Israel and people in that camp, but spoken out against. They're openly saying there is no two-state solution anymore. What really grabbed my attention is that they actually invoke the 1967 borders, which obviously have not been there for decades as these settlements have grown and grown in size over the last several decades. Now, here are my concerns, okay? Number one, I think that many of these protesters have been painted in the wrong light. Obviously, everybody out there is not quote unquote pro Hamas or pro Hezbollah. They want to see a resolution to this. They want to see the death stop. But this is going to put a lot of those protesters, which are already perceived to be left leaning, into the camp of full on communism. Right? Because the largest communist leader right now is actually proposing what would be a, I don't know if it's sane, but the proper resolution. They get their own government. They have a shared capital in Jerusalem, and with their own government, obviously, comes a sovereign nation and their own military. I don't see that happening, obviously. What I see is, again, now this perception that all of these protesters are communists, full-out pro-China, communist, Hamas. I mean, it's a whole new amalgamation of talking points just ready to explode within the conservative and, unfortunately, the alternative media. Now, I'm no fan of the model of China or a one-party state at all, but they can't be wrong all the time. And certainly in this place, they are correct that these people deserve their own nation state, their own representation, their own constitution. So what is the political move and play here? Why is Xi Jinping saying this? Is it to cause unrest in the United States and maybe take the focus off of China and Taiwan a bit?
Well, you know, there's many reasons there, and there's a lot to unpack, man. You said so much stuff that I want to kind of just comment on, but let's start with Xi Jinping, right, and why they're doing this. I think both China and Russia are digressing back to the last set of, like, boundary rules, which is 1967 by the UN, that have been ignored for quite some time. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if a two-state solution will be possible now, because Israel will just ignore it no matter what, and they'll start taking more settlements. I mean, Hamas is not in the West Bank, Jason, but yet, you know, the colonizing project. And, you know, that's why you can say that the United States and Israel, I don't know who's calling the shots, but they're attached at the hip over here. I mean, if you're going to go for a settler colonial project in Israel, you know, over there with the Palestinians inside Palestine, who better, you know, than to turn to than your big brother, United States, who wiped out the Indians and took this land over here, right? I know we can't go back and change things, but, you know, it's the same behavior, the same person. But as far as the CCP, like I said, I think Xi Jinping, and we really need to pay attention to the different tone and the narrative and the rhetoric that's coming out of China now. Just recently, Antony Blinken went over there, and there was a little clip that was played when Xi Jinping was asking one of his right-hand mans, how long is he going to be here for? Just until the 90s, leaving, and Xi Jinping is like, good, get him out of here. The rhetoric is different with China. They're not having a lot of conversations about Taiwan because Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party, which isn't even that communist overall. I mean, it's like free market socialism over there. They have crazy capitalism over there, this home ownership, this small business ownership. But the reason why there's not so much talk about Taiwan is because he's letting them know. He's let the United States know. He's let the Brits know. It's a red line now for him. You know, you're not holding any red lines over there for what Israel can do, the United States, that is. When they say, oh, it could be a red line in Rafah, it wasn't a red line. China has a red line. So that's why we have that rhetoric. Whether they send Janet Yellen over there, she can show off how she learned how to use chopsticks, or Antony Blinken, or Macron. They're also trying to find a backdoor way to tell the Chinese to see if they can bargain with the Russians to have some sort of off-ramp in the Ukraine. And China's saying, no, we're not doing that. You had all that on the table. They're playing by different rules over there anymore. And anything that's looked upon from the West as an olive branch, as a compromise, is no longer being paid attention to by the Chinese or the Russians. It's that old saying, you fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, George Bush, W. Bush can't fool me again. All right, you know, shame on me. That is what is taking place right now. And I don't think people are grasping that. Final point about the whole protest when it comes to them being communist. I'm so sorry, Jason, but this is the populist right. This is the conservative independent media. They're putting themselves in their own little echo chamber. A lot of independents don't feel that way. They understand that those people are out there not because they're pro-Hamas, not because they're pro-Palestine. They're anti-death. They're anti-ethnic cleansing. We're talking over 30,000 people, mostly women and children over here. So the more they try to play that card, the more they try to kind of say, oh, this is this Marxist movement over here. You know how I pull my hair out of my head. It just simply is not. They're not going to be able to twist this. This is about pushing back against your own country, stating that Israel is not the 51st state and that we shouldn't be funding this genocide. So the more the populist right or the conservative alternative media and all these people talk about this, the more they lose their support on this issue and show the hypocrisy of the fact that they are not for freedom of speech, because that's what these protests are about, freedom of expression.
And, you know, you brought up China not being a true communist state. And that is the reality. A lot of people have to go back to the Kissinger years to see how they did make that transformation into what I would call soft capitalism. In other words, all of a sudden there was this inner trade. They were allowed to have the blue jeans, the Coca-Cola, the Western culture, but keep the authoritarian nature of a one-party system and really command and control if anybody got outside of their power structure. We do that in the United States in many ways by picking winners and losers. The real question, when I'm talking about the corporate arena, by the way, the real question is, where does all this conflict go on the way up to November? Because I don't see a ceasefire. I don't see a de-escalation. And will China eventually get involved militarily? Obviously, they've talked now about the space weapons, Taiwan being a red line, but now interjecting themselves into this Middle Eastern conflict, I'm a little more concerned.
Yeah, I think Iran is the key over here. What's the attitude and the energy from the state of Israel and the United States going to be towards Iran, right? There's a lot of money that is invested in Iran by the Chinese and the Russians, especially the Chinese right now. The Belt and Road Initiative really depends on Iran, and they have a big deal going with them. So to see, you know, where China and Russia are going to end up as opposed to against the United States or Israel, where that's going to play out, I think Iran is the key player right now. And if we can find a way, I think if Kirby can find a way along with Sullivan to keep these wars going, to have Joe Biden be a wartime president, like Mike Johnson says he's a wartime speaker, they'll take their chances that way. But that's how disengaged, that's how separated mentality they are from the public. I think the public's had enough of this. We don't want to continue funding war. We don't want to continue to funding genocide. It's in our name, so we need to stand up. Like I said, a lot of those protesters, I'm not going to agree with them. They're not going to agree with me on COVID and other issues. But when it comes to this issue, I'm all for it. They just need to learn how to get their message out better.
Craig Pasta Jardula, check him out over at the Convo Couch and the Pasta to Go Show. Thank you so much, my friend. We will see you next week. We're going to take a break. Final segment of the show coming up. 2 hours flies by. We've got Mike Netter giving us all the info from the Left Coast coming up. More TNT after this.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The truth is, Parkinson's disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them. Worldwide, over 10 million people are living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement. And with so many places to search for information, it can be difficult to know where to begin. The Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight. We can help you understand the disease, help you find expert care, give you tips for living a better life, share the latest research, help you find local support, and there's a free helpline you can call. Find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's. To learn more, please go to parkinson.org or call 1-800-4PD-INFO. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives together.
The next time you think you can illegally handle your mobile phone while driving and get away with it, think again. Phone detection cameras are in operation on New South Wales roads.
Hello?
So if you're driving and illegally handle your mobile phone, you can stop it or cop it.
Jason Burmes has the power of information.
Today's News Talk. TNT.
We are now joined by our guru of the Left Coast, Mike Netter. And, you know, during the short little break, we were kind of talking about culture and comedy. He had brought in up the Babylon Bee and the parody news site. And I was hearkening back to the days of The Onion, when everything wasn't so political, or when they would jab politically, both sides could kind of have a laugh and realize it was a headline. At the same time, now everything has been completely over the top politicized. And The Onion, I'm not even sure it's around or in existence anymore. And the Babylon Bee, I mean, it's so heavily censored by mainline social media. It's not in my feed like it used to be, Mike.
Well, I think the funny thing is there, and by the way, thanks for having me on today, because the comedy writes itself. And I really think the biggest problem with Onion, Babylon Bee, and I've said this quite often, the comedy writers simply came back from strike because the actual politicians are competing with them. I mean, the stuff that happens is so ludicrous that they even admit to today, it's really got to make you think. But to the point that you made, look, there's idiots on both sides of the aisle, and idiots do stupid things on both sides of the aisle. Humans do stupid things on both sides of the aisle. And the problem is today, Jason, is we don't have to take everything quite so seriously. I mean, you want to hear a trivia fact that's unreal and it's real? Did you know Nancy Pelosi, I was doing an article on that right before there, do you know she doesn't even crack the top five oldest members of Congress? Yes, indeed. We have tales from the crypt on both sides of the aisle actually running our country. That's something we used to make fun of. We have a governor of a state who's up for a vice presidential possible, shall we say, nomination with Donald Trump. And I want to preface this by saying, Jason, I don't know about you. I know about everybody out there. We've all done stupid stuff in our life. We've all done it. It happens. It's in private, and when you're running for office or even out in public, you don't tell people about it on your own, right or wrongly. And the fact that Kristi Noem would admit she shot her dog, and I'm not, look, there's reasons it happens, but would put it in a book, you have to think, are you really that stupid? And not to be topped by that, as ludicrous as it sounds, Robert Kennedy, did you see the story that came out today on him?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about the worm brain?
Right. And you've got to go, okay, full disclosure, I've been through a divorce. It's a friendly divorce. I'm still friends with the ex. There's lots of things that happen in a divorce case. There's lots of reasons we all have used. I've had too much to drink on a given night. I did this. I didn't see the stoplight. But you got to hand it to the worm in the brain defense, where even some, and this is literally what's cracking me up. It's like, seriously, first off, you're running for president of the United States. He's not getting my vote, full disclosure, but you're running for president. You would think somebody on his handlers who are pretty well paid said, boy, I kept trying to say this with a straight face. I did this earlier today. I'm really going to try here. Watch me on D&D. Would get ahead of the worm story. Because somebody, and by the way, this isn't verified. This isn't like, we scanned his brain and here's a picture of the worm. This is a guy saying in a divorce proceeding that I lost my memory and I couldn't earn a lot of money, hence why I probably can't pay a lot of support. I'll let you fill that in. Because they think I had a worm in my brain. And with all due deference, if children are watching, put them aside. It's not even the worm. It's the worm droppings in my cranium, which caused me to lose my memory. Now, the flip side is this is a new scientific discovery because, of course, the reporters today, forget Israel, forget what's going on in the Mideast, forget everything that they tried to remove the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, today. We all rushed to Wormgate because Wormgate was the third highest read story today because you've got to hand it for getting publicity. Again, it competes with the Onion and the Babylon Bee. And you've just got to wonder. I'm just looking at a lot of these things today going, what the hell is really wrong with these people? Now, Gavin Newsom isn't quite there, and he's not quite as experienced. So he came out this week thinking nobody would notice. Did you hear about the story about tourism in California?
I did see him hold a press conference on tourism, and I forgot what he said. It was in the beginning of the week, right? Like Monday?
Right. So Gavin Newsom got up there, and in Gavin's defense, we don't teach math in California schools. So he was pretty sure that nobody would catch on, right? So he got out there and he did this video because that's what Gavin does. And you got to understand, on a serious note, Gavin has no leadership. That's zero. There's riots going on campus. There's right now big hearings going on because our utility bills cost pretty much twice what your car payment used to do. You know, gas is literally costing, it's cheaper just to sit home and drink because it's probably Jack Daniels. But Gavin Newsom is going to brag that tourism up. So he spends a lot of money and goes to the Golden Gate Bridge and announce that tourism is up by 7% at $151 billion. And it is the highest dollars ever. And we've made a comeback since 2019. Now, what Gavin really didn't know, and you again think his handlers would have said, hey, Gavin, I know you're dyslexic and I don't know you don't read well, but you're bragging that all these tourists are coming back to California because they've spent a lot more money. I'm going slow because it's so stupid to us that follow economics and politics, get your arm around it. Since 2019, the aggregate prices in California are up 21%. So if tourism dollars are only up 7%, as indeed the actual report states, but why would Gavin or his handlers read the whole report? Number of visitors is down. It's just the ones coming here are getting the beep, beep, beep pumped out of them in terms of dollars because California prices are so high.
And Mike, so, by the way, just on the gas alone, just on the gas, as you just alluded to, you are more than $2 more than the nation's average. So California also, for those that have never been there and never seen a map, very large state, very large. It's a coastline. So let's say that you want to go to San Diego and visit a whale's vagina, but you also want to make your way all the way up to San Francisco and maybe Sonoma.
That's not
Sonoma
where I go,
County.
By the way, but I'll put that on my list. Okay, thanks.
You should. The Ron Burgundy experience, everybody. Now, you're just that drive alone, you're going to be spending almost double what you normally would on the same trip in gas. I was in New York, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, on the thruway. Now, New York City's a long ways away, but feeling it at the gas pump, stopped to try to go get a bottle of water, $5.35. I'm sure it's similar in a lot of places in California as well. But then at the Burger King, where they no longer have anybody taking your order, it's all kiosks because they don't want to pay that sweet, sweet $15 minimum wage that is regulated. I think it's going to 20 in
it's 20 in California.
California.
We're trying to stay ahead of New York.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted myself, you know, a cheeseburger. Yeah, they used to have cheeseburgers at Burger King, you know, the king of burgers. Wasn't on the menu. I had six options, okay? And the lowest option was a Whopper Jr. at $4.69. No drink, no fries, didn't want a Whopper Jr. I thought to myself, maybe a bacon cheeseburger. Again, not offered. The double bacon cheeseburger was offered, Mike, at $12.79. I mean, you wonder why they're spending more money, because they have to. There's no way. Listen, Hollyweird ain't banging. Not many people want to be on the Disney tours anymore. It's not what it once was, Mike. But you've got this American psycho out there that doesn't have to do math because, hey, the IQ levels in this country have now officially dropped to under 100 for the first time ever. He can just make this statement and that statement will be parroted by everybody at CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, and beyond, Mike. Who needs the Onion?
Well, the problem is that Americans are actually catching on, especially Californians, right? So, and I talk about this there, and it's funny, but it's not. It's literally reached the point, and this is part of the problem, right? We can't even laugh at a Gavin anymore because the left gets very upset. I mean, let's face it, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Jason, you're an experienced man. You've seen Monty Python, right? And the funniest part of Monty Python, and in case you haven't figured out, I grew up a Monty Python, is guys would dress up in women's clothing and do this silly thing. Now for something completely different. Now today, of course, that's offensive, or you have to go, you can't say anything about it because we've taken the humor out of life. And that's
wait, I got to stop you because life is a funny place, Mike. I might have not gotten the Burger King because it was so overpriced over in New York. Came back to Iowa just 2 days ago, had the craving, decided to walk in. I actually ordered from a person. Now, that person was clearly a non-binary pseudo-lesbian that was overweight. You want laughter and entertainment. This is part of the norm. But what I wasn't ready for is while I was waiting for my meal, you talked about men dressing as women. A man walked in full cartoon makeup. In other words, blush, lipstick, eyeliner, long hair, in the Burger King outfit. Didn't have the fake breasts or anything on like that. But if a biological woman had had that much makeup on, I would have said clown show. No, biological man, probably in his early 20s here in Iowa, as if that's the norm. I mean, we're beyond parody. You know that
wait,
one
wait
piece?
Wait a minute. Jason, you were in Iowa?
I live in Iowa, my friend.
No, I understand that, but this happened in Iowa, right?
In Iowa, in the Quad Cities.
I'm very surprised that a member of the California State Legislature was in Iowa. But thank you for citing one of our lawmakers. Okay. Yes, this is, it's literally, it, dude, it used to be what we call the clown show is now everyday life. What we used to make fun of on the New York subway is now everyday life. And it still should be made fun of. I'm sorry. And this, that, you know, what's happening is the normal people are going to stop going like this. They're going to stop going like this and going, what the hell? Because they pushed it too far. Even the left comedians, which had to take a side. When did comedians ever have to take a side? You got up there and go, I like it. I don't like it. That's why I love Chappelle, Dave Chappelle. He just ran because he says, look, I got $1 billion. I'm going to tell you to ram it up, whatever, and make fun of what I want to. You can't take the fun away. To your point, you see these people and you wonder, you want to go dude or dudette or whatever the hell you are. Not that I care. It doesn't strike you as strange that you're dressed this way. And yes, people should just get out on a corner and laugh at these people. And I don't care if it's politically correct. We are talking today with all the world's problems about a guy talking, running for president with worms in his brain, or thinking he had worms in his brain. Okay. We are talking about the fact why people are worried about laughing at things like this. They're freaking out because the price of a double-double, one of my hot posts I had a few weeks ago. Dude, I post about all this political shit. Okay. I'm going to say it. And it's deep in taxation, this, that, and the other. But I got over 700,000 views on a simple post. And for those of you that want to come to California, fly, it's cheaper than driving. You got to get a double-double while we're talking fast food here. A double-double is a food group. They used to have lines, In-N-Out Burger. A double-double, I said, has gone to double digits. Yes, indeed, a simple two-patty hamburger now costs $10.50. That ticked off California and the nation. And by the way, there's a presidential election going on, but you want to hit a chord with people and make fun of something? Make fun of the ridiculousness of what the government is doing. But it's almost like we have to take a side in everything, right? Everything has to be a side. We have students out there, dude, I didn't see a single comedy routine, and I watched comedy last week, on the fact I believe it was a Columbia University, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it might have been an MIT, where they said, we've taken over a building, and we're starving, you should bring us food. In fact, remember this? It's on our food plan.
But let me say this, Mike. You know, as things change, the more they stay the same. You know, I remember all the way back in 2000 at the WTO protests, those had been provocateured by police, but they took over buildings and they did the same exact thing. We are in a cartoon on so many levels. You mentioned the double-double. I was in Vegas this summer. I picked one up for just under $10 and I was pretty happy to do so. I think it was like eight
and
change.
That's in Vegas, by the way, where it's already jacked up, right? I mean, Vegas, everyone is high.
Exactly. I think I might have gotten fries with it. So you kind of do have to laugh along with the darkness. You know, because you've been talking about the brain worm, RFK Jr., you brought up Trump and Noam. Who do you think is going to be the vice presidential pick for Trump? Because the people that he's floating out there are absolutely horrendous. The Tim Scotts, the Marco Rubios. I don't want to see them. I don't want to hear about them. I'm still on the fence. I still might vote RFK Jr. Make me not wanna. Give me a Rand Paul on the side. Give me a Vivek Ramaswamy, a Mike Lee, a Tulsi Gabbard, something that makes sense. Who's he gonna choose, in your opinion, and who should he choose in this last minute and a half or so?
I like the Rand Paul idea. I really do. Okay, this just in, Donald Trump didn't call me today. I think the smartest thing Trump is doing, and he's a genius at it, and I mean that. And I've been in the room with Vidal Rasami, okay, whose name I can never say. He just should have been called Vince, but let's put it at that. I've been in the room with all these guys, okay? I will tell you, I think Rand Paul would be a really good choice. But the genius of Trump in the time we're running out here is he's making us talk about it, not a worm in the brain. We're talking about who's going to be number two, not what was inside my head physically, not a metaphor, 10, 12 years ago. I'm Mike Netter. We're running out of time. It's RebuildCalifornia.com. Follow me at Netter Mike. And you better be subscribing to my new newsletter, Netter News, because I'm trying to put a little lightness into it 3 days a week.
Mike Netter, always great energy. Love having you on the program, brother. Thank you so much for joining us. And guys, thank you for joining me Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern here at TNT Radio, where the truth lives. Love you guys, and we'll see you on the flip side.